So I lived abroad in Italy for some time, and while I was there, my best friend was this little old Italian grandma, and honestly, it was so cute. Like, we met at a marketplace and she had dropped her zucchini and I helped her pick it up, and that was it. And that we just became best friends. And it was honestly like straight out of a meet cute, except it was like me and this 87-year-old, 5-foot-tall grandma. And that was the beginning of us. And that was the beginning of a lot of things, actually. It was the beginning of me finding love in traveling. It was the beginning of me finding love in talking to strangers and getting their stories. Me finding the meaning of unconditional love, the meaning of loss, the beginnings of my blog. And really, it just felt like the beginning of me. So, one zucchini later, I find myself in a table for two in her flat in Rome while she's chopping away at some herbs on her chopping board and stirring risotto on the stove and singing a soft tune. And I'm like sitting there and I was like, what kind of crazy lady like invites this random 20-year-old she met on the street like 40 minutes ago into her home and starts like cooking for her? And I mean, honestly, that's just her in a nutshell. She's a crazy lady, but she's also super sweet and humble and kind, trusting and loving, but she can be strong-willed and cautious, and she's just so well-traveled and so well-experienced that she just wants to share her lessons and share her love with everyone that she's ever met. And yeah, that was the beginning of us. And I had left the apartment that day with a belly full of food and plans to meet up the next day. And so we met up the next day, and we had plans to meet up the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, until we were spending every single moment together. We were walking, we were laughing, we were singing, we were crying, we were cooking, we were doing anything. And we were just, I mean, she kind of unofficially adopted me as her grandchild at that point, and I called her Nona, which means grandma in Italian. And that was the beginning of us. So I don't know how much you guys believe in like Myers-Briggs personalities, but I'm an INFJ. And for those who aren't familiar, I see you clap in the audience. For those who aren't familiar, INFJs are coined the advocate. And there's a lot of good things I can go into with what an advocate is, but we're deeply sensitive to other people's feelings and thoughts and energies. We kind of really love to be charismatic and open and loving to people, but also we go into every situation thinking, how can I fix this? How can I fix this? And I only read this about a year ago, so it's pretty recent. And when I was reading the description, I came to like a grinding halt at one of the parts of the description because I was just like shook to the core. And this part of the description basically was saying, like, because INFJs are so deeply sensitive to other people, they kind of are very intuitive about what the other person needs and how they need it and what they need in that moment. And it's very hard to get that kind of innate intuition that a lot of people, even though they might love you back, like to their full extent and core, they don't know how to reciprocate it in a manner that weighs with you specifically. And so the paragraph kind of ended by saying, like, INFJs are kind of destined to a life of feeling lonely, even though they're not alone. And I was like, cool. And honestly, yeah, I was sad for a second. And then it just like immediately, so I was reading this a year ago and immediately transported me back into this two table for two in Nona's apartment where she's, you know, singing the soft tune and, you know, shaking her hips and stirring the risotto. And I was like, I feel it. After 2 whole decades of just like nothing, it's just radio static. I felt it in that moment where I was like, someone sees me and someone understands me and someone loves me for who I am. And I was like, I didn't even know I needed this until I found it. And I was like, this is it. This is it. And I can't even begin to explain, like, how she completed me. It's kind of like, imagine if you were a ghost for all of your life and you're flailing your arms and you're screaming and you're crying and nobody can see you until that one person, they look at you, they come up to you, they're not afraid, they don't care you're a ghost, and they come up to you and they try to understand you for who you are, and despite what they find, they love you. And then they can't see anymore. And you're kind of resorted to being alone and invisible again. And after having that experience and having it taken away from you, this is kind of like a sum up of every single day that I was in Italy. I was feeling this dread, I was feeling this sadness where I was like, once I leave Italy, once I leave Nona, once I leave this beautiful place with all this friends and family, I'm going to be alone and nobody's going to understand me. And I'm just going to be, you know, I'm just going to be like that description said. And on days when that feeling was just so palpable and I just didn't want to process it and I just wanted to be sad, I wanted to be alone, Nona sensed that. She was very acute to it. And she said, hey, let's have a park day. And I loved park days. So Nona and I's park days are essentially the days when I was just wanted to be grumpy. And we would head to the park and we'd sit on a bench and we'd just sit in silence for like hours. And I would usually be reading and she would usually be sketching. She loved to sketch. And on one particular park day, there was this woman, a mother, who's sitting on a picnic cloth on the grass, and she had her young son kind of draped across her lap, you know, in a deep meditative sleep. And they were so cute. And Nona saw that immediately, eagle eyes, and she's like, oh yeah, the perfect content, started sketching. And I was like, yep, there she goes. And I look over after a while, and I saw like just very simple lines, shapes, shadings on this paper, but like it made the exact moment of this mother and this child sitting there in the grass and that feeling of like love, content, bliss. And I was like, what the heck? How did she do that? But I didn't notice she was looking at me until I looked up and she had like a soft grin on her face, like, what you doing? And she's like, in a very thick accent, Italian accent that I'm not going to attempt today, she said, what do you see? And I wanted to say so many things. I wanted to say, you know, I saw love and I saw bliss and I saw content and I saw just family. But other than that, I saw maybe like a history of just maybe so many things building up over time, this mother and this child, that bond that you can never recreate with anyone else. It's just this feeling of pure family. And it was just all there in that moment. And it was captured in these very simple lines and shapes. And I was like kind of tearing up at that point. But I didn't say any of this. And instead, I was like, you should just give them the painting. I think they'd really appreciate it. And so she did. And she got up, she ripped out the page in her book. And literally within seconds, she's over there with the mother and handing her the paper. And the mother looked so happy and kind of shocked. And I was like sitting there on that bench and I was like, what? Like without a second glance, no hesitation, she gets up and like, how could she give something away, something so beautiful away to these people that she doesn't even know, these random people, and just like have no thought about it, no second thought. I was like, what? I want that to be me. Like I want that painting. Like I want to see myself in that painting and have it and cherish it. Like I need this, but it's too late at that point and it was gone. And Nona kind of came back to the bench at that point and she put her hand over mine. And this is when I kind of realized I was like full on sobbing and I didn't know that. And I kind of retracted my hand away and wiped away my tears. And she's like, can I tell you something? And I was like, sure. And she said, you know, everything leaves us, whether we want it to or not. And that's not a bad thing. But you'll never experience the same person, the same moment, or anything for that matter, the same way that you will even just seconds ago. everything kind of changes or, you know, has a different meaning to you in different points of time. Just like the stars kind of come, they go away in the morning, they come back out at night, but just in a different angle or a different light than the night before. And, you know, the sketch is now gone, and I'd be leaving Italy in a few short days. And it might seem like the things that we give up are so permanent, but, you know, it's never that they're gone. It's just that it'll leave you, and it'll kind of go around to different people and different places, bringing new joy, new experiences to other people. And then it'll kind of make its way back to you in a different way or a different light, such as maybe meeting a new person or finding a new passion. And it's all very circular. It'll come back to you. So don't worry. Just let go. And so I did. I left Italy, and maybe a year or so after that, she passed away. And it may seem like the things I gave up were so permanent that I'd never find happiness or joy or anything to fill that void again, but I did, and I'm here. And I've, you know, started writing my new blog. I've started sharing my experiences and my stories with these blog posts, and kind of making new friends and doing new things. I'm getting my MBA. I'm kind of, you know, so many new things, and I'm finding this new joy and new experiences that I never thought I'd find outside of Nona or outside of Italy. And really, it just felt like I found closure. And more than anything, it just felt like I found myself.